Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aditya Birla Capital Limited Q2 FY19 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Srinivasan, Chief Executive, Aditya Birla Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us this evening for our Q2 results. Happy Diwali to all of you before we start this conference call. I'm joined on this call by my senior team, both chief executives and CFOs of our various businesses, and we'll be happy to take any questions that you might have at the end of the presentation. The presentation has been put on the website, so I'm presuming you all have access to it because I'll refer to the page numbers and the slides on the presentation that's been put up on the website. I'm going to start with slide number three, which gives you an overall view of some of the highlights of the last quarter. So if you look at the top left of this slide, you'll see our premium from our protecting business, both our life and health insurance business. Premium has grown 39% year-on-year, so Q2 FY18 to Q2 FY19. If I break that down, we've seen a 77% growth in our individual APE in our life insurance business, significantly higher than the industry growth, which is about 13% for the same period. Our life insurance business has seen a very strong growth in gross VNB margin, which was 36.4% for Q2 of FY19. Our EV September to September, so September 18 to September 17 to September 18, has grown by 10% year-on-year. In our health insurance business, we've crossed 100 crores of GWP in Q2, with 61% of that business coming from the retail segment. If I move on to the middle part of this slide, it shows you our investing business, which is largely our mutual fund business. AUM has grown by about 11% last year to this year. Our equity AUM has crossed 100,000 crores and has grown 29% year-on-year. SIP, which has been a focus for the industry and, of course, for us, the share of SIP in our domestic equity AUM is now about 29%, and our operating EBT in this business increased by 32% year-on-year. So move on to the last segment on the right-hand side of the slide. It's our financing segment, which includes our NBFC and our housing finance business. Our overall book has grown by 30% to just under 58,000 crores at the end of September 2018. Our NBFC PBT has grown 26%, with an ROE expansion of 36 basis points on a diversified book on a year-to-date basis. Our housing finance book has grown twice over the same period last year, with the NIM improving to 3.3% compared to where we were in Q1 of this year. And as you know, we've already announced that we formed a JV with Värde Partners to grow our ARC business. I'll now deep dive into our individual businesses, and I'll start with our lending business, Aditya Birla Finance, our NBFC. I'll refer to slide number five. Slide number five will show you that basically we've always talked about our focus being on the higher margin segments within our overall book, which is a diversified book. So SME plus retail plus HNI, which is really the focus for us in terms of growth, grew by 44% year-on-year compared to Q2 FY18 over Q2 FY19. Therefore, now in FY19, accounts for 49% of our total book. 49% is large and mid-corporates, and 2% is others. So really, the direction we've been signaling for a while is playing out in the numbers that you're seeing. We think there's been an improvement in margins led by both change in product mix as well as the ability to pass on the increases in interest costs that we've experienced to our borrowers. That is visible from the fact that our NIMs have more or less remained constant from Q2 FY18 to Q2 FY19. Our asset quality remains very good. Our gross NPA is at 0.93%, net NPA at 0.4%. We think this is amongst the better asset qualities in the industry. EBT growth was 26% year-on-year. Our Q2 EBT per se was about 317 crores. And as you see on the bottom of the slide on slide five, our ROE has expanded by 36 basis points in the half year this year compared to the half year last year, with ROA at 1.9%. Slide number six is really a story of diversification. We've walked you through these slides before. We showed the same slide in Q1 as well. Basically, we cater to a number of segments, and for each segment, we have a number of products that allow us to cater to this segment. This has two benefits for us. One is it allows us to cater to a much larger number of customers and therefore allows us a much broader range of products to reach different customer segments that we're catering to. but also it has a significant impact in terms of our risk, because this allows us to be able to diversify across product segments, across geographies, and definitely across products. So this gives us the ability to really diversify and reduce the risk in our book, which I think is a factor that you'll see with the low GNPA and NNPA numbers that I referred to earlier. If I refer now to slide number 7, slide number 7 will talk to you about the quality of our book. Over the last 4 years, so FY15 to the half year of FY19, we've seen a CAGR of 33% in our loan book growth, 33% per annum, so a pretty strong growth in our overall book. And this has been matched by a very strong asset quality, which is reflected on the bottom of the slide on the left-hand side. So if you see over this period, our GNPA has more or less remained the same, and our net NPA has also remained more or less the same. And mind you, this is a time period when the asset recognition rules have tightened from 180 DPD to 90 DPD. So not only have we seen a strong growth in the book, we've also seen a tightening of the income NPA recognition norms. And over this period, our NPA numbers have remained constant. So I think that is really testimony to the quality of the book that we've built. We wanted to give a little bit more color on some of the segments that we deal with and what these segments look like. So I'll start first with the tile in the middle of the page. So we have a diversified loan book. If you look at the average ticket size of our book as a whole, it's about 40 lakhs. If you look at our corporate book alone, we think we have a very high quality corporate book, because we basically internally rate any corporate loan that comes to us more than 7.5 crores. We develop an internal rating system along with a leading rating agency, and that's the rating that we use for evaluating all these proposals that come up for approval within the system. So our median internal rating is A, and we have 60% of our exposure to borrowers with credit rating A and above. So really a very high quality book on the corporate side. In construction finance, our exposure is largely to Cat A and Cat B developers. We have an average ticket size of just under 50 crores and a very good quality book in this space. Since it's an area of recent discussion, we thought we'd specifically call out our construction finance exposure and experience. LAP, again, I think there's a lot of recent chatter about LAP. We have a LTV in our LAP book of 50%. Again, very good quality book. We have no reason to worry about the quality of the book that we've built. And overall, if you look at our book, we have more than 80% of our book is secured. So we continue to remain a largely secured lender, really focused on cash flow-based underwriting in terms of the way we look at the process, the proposals that come to us. Moving on to slide number 8. Slide number 8 is really a slide that talks about how our margins have moved over different interest rate cycles. And what we've captured here from Q2 of FY17 to Q2 of FY19 is really three phases of interest rate movement. In the first 4 quarters, you've seen interest rate fall from 8.76%. Our cost of borrowing fell from 8.76% to 7.85%. Then it remained more or less steady at about 7.85% for 4 quarters. And then over the last 2 or 3 quarters, we've seen rates going up again. So that's the chart on the top right, which shows you how we've seen really three phases even in the last 8 quarters. And the slide at the bottom will show you that through these interest rate cycles, whether interest rates have been down, steady, or up, basically we've been able to maintain our NIM in the range that you see below. And that is really a testimony to the fact that we're not just being able to manage the product mix, but also being able to pass on the interest rate cost hikes that we experience to our borrowers. And that's really something that the business has been able to do on a regular basis, as you can see from this slide. Moving on to slide number 9, we want to talk about ALM. Again, a very topical issue, so we want to talk about where we stand on the ALM side. So if you look at our ALM, we think our ALM is optimized for both liquidity as well as for cost optimization. The top left chart will show you our cumulative outflow and inflow. As you see, we are surplus in the 0 to 3 months bucket. We are surplus in the 3 to 6 month bucket. We're pretty balanced in the 6 to 12 month bucket. And then, of course, as you go longer term, there's a slight mismatch which gets matched with a surplus further on. In fact, in the last 2 months, we've been very active raising long-term money. We've raised almost 5,000 crores in the last 2 months. We raised 1,000 crores from IFC Washington, a 7-year green loan. We raised about 2,550 crores in terms of term loans and about NCDs of 1,750 crores. So even in the markets that we've been seeing over the last two months, we've been quite active in being able to raise long-term money for ourselves. We believe that today we have adequate liquidity pipeline to meet our growth requirements, you know, over the next 6 months. And I think that positions us well to be able to capitalize on opportunities that might come our way. On the right-hand side of this slide, we show our diversification across both instruments and investors. As you see, our borrowing mix covers a variety of instruments across a variety of tenors. And on the right-hand side of the same side, you see our sourcing mix. So banks are the largest lenders to us. So almost 51% of our borrowing comes from banks. We continue to broad-base our investor profile. We today have 351 investors compared to about 298 investors Q2 of FY18. And we continue to maintain a very comfortable capital adequacy at 17.2%. Moving on to slide 10, which talks about our risk management approach and our exposure to IL&FS. So if I start on the left-hand side, there are really four elements of our risk management approach when we look at credit in our NBFC. The first is really the sourcing and the underwriting about how we onboard the new customers that we bring on board. Our underwriting is committee-based. It has a rigorous credit appraisal process, really focused very significantly on cash flows that we see in the borrowing profile. That is really what defines our underwriting process and approach. We're also able to structure transactions, we think, in a very effective way, because this allows us both to capture cash flows in an ecosystem, as well as to look at different types of security that we can capture that secure our loan. We then follow our sourcing and underwriting with continuous monitoring to make sure that our asset quality remains good. So we have a separate focus on monitoring our significant exposures. We have a life cycle monitoring of exposure, which includes automation of identified triggers for especially our key exposures. So if something happens that triggers our attention, then it automatically gets triggered to our risk management team. We also have early warning triggers that are alert mechanisms based on multiple input sources. This could be financial, it could be news reports, it could be something on social media that really identify signs of incipient stress that then get our attention and get us to act. We have a very focused approach on exposure management. We are always looking to see what our single borrower limit should be, not based on what the regulatory limits are, but based on our own risk appetite. We set limits per borrower and per group, and these are then monitored continuously. And then, of course, on a regular basis, we are also doing event-based and regular stress testing. We could look at, for instance, what would happen if interest rates went up by 2%, or what happened if the rupee went beyond a particular range, which one of our borrowers would face some issues, and therefore how do we deal with those issues if they came along. So that's really our risk management approach. I think it's something that's held us in very good stead, as you can see from the NPA numbers I shared earlier. Talking about our IL&FS exposure, we have a total exposure of about 388 crores, which is about 0.8% of our total lending book to various IL&FS entities. Off the above, I must clarify that an exposure of about 0.36% is actually to a solar power plant that was built by IL&FS for an SEZ, where actually the tenants of the SEZ are paying for the power, and that amount of payment is escrowed to us. So technically, we don't think it's actually an exposure on IL&FS, because neither the repayment nor the exposure is to IL&FS directly, but because it's set up by an IL&FS company, we've included in this number. Bulk of our balance exposure is actually to three operating road and power SPVs, which have adequate cash flows for debt servicing, and we think will continue to have value because these are marquee projects, and I think they continue to have adequate cash flow to serve debt. We have a very small exposure of about 15 crores to energy holdco of IL&FS, but as you can see, a bulk of our exposure is to what we think are very high quality operating SPVs within the IL&FS system. Let me now move on to slide number 11, which is the last slide in the NBFC section, which has the financials of the NBFC. As you will see from this slide, our lending book has grown 24% year on year. Our net interest margins and net interest income has remained more or less steady, as you can see, from Q2 of last year to Q2 of this year. Profit before tax has grown 29% on the half year, 26% quarter over quarter. And our net worth at the end of FY September 18 is 6,903 crores. So that's pretty much our update on the NBFC. I'd now like to move on to the housing finance company. So our housing finance company has had a very strong quarter and a quarter of value accretive growth in many ways. So our lending book has grown two times between Q2 FY18 to Q2 FY19. This includes affordable housing, which crossed a 1,000 crore mark within a year of operation. So really a very strong performance from a new segment within our housing finance business. We've always talked about building retail granularity. I think that's borne out by the fact that our average home loan ticket size now is reduced to 25 lakhs, which I think is pretty much in line with bulk of the industry. We've seen a strong improvement in our cost-income ratio, as you see in the middle of the slide, between Q2 of last year and Q2 of this year. Again, in this book, as in our NBFC, we have a very high-quality asset book. Our GNPA is 0.71% and our net NPA is 0.31%. At the bottom of the chart, you will see the significant benefit we're getting from a profitability standpoint as a result of the scale we've built. So our Q2 EBT is 21 crores. Prior year was 3 crores, so really a significant jump in PBT between Q2 of last year and Q2 of this year. I move on now to slide number 14, which again pretty much builds on the theme of diversification that I've spoken to you about, including in the NBFC. The left-hand side will show you the diversification by type of products. So we have affordable housing, we have construction finance, which is 8% of our book, 25% of our book is LAP, and 58% of our book is what we call prime housing. Our LAP portfolio and our housing finance business, again, has an LTV of 50%, is a good quality book, no reason for us for any concern. And our construction finance book here has an average ticket size of only 16 crores. So as you can see, it's a very small ticket and fairly diversified, therefore gives us a good ability to be able to manage risk in this segment. On the right-hand side of this chart, you will see our geographic mix, which we think is fairly balanced. In fact, we have a fairly large amount coming from the east of India. Many other people have probably a smaller amount coming from East India. The Birla brand works well there, and I think that's one reason why we've had a very good result in East India. We have a balanced distribution strategy, and our direct sourcing has ramped up to 47% compared to 42%, which it was in the same period last year. Moving on to slide 15. Slide 15 will give you a sense of our home loan book and the granularity that we are building in our housing finance business. So of our 6,464 crores of home loan, about 70% is self-employed, which we think is an underserved and large segment in the market. About 30% is salaried. Our home loan ticket size, as I mentioned earlier, is 25 lakhs, down from 42 lakhs in the same period last year. We've added a significant number of customers over the course of the last year. Our customer base has basically tripled from Q2 of FY18 to Q2 of FY19. Backed by the fact that we have 70 branches and 3,500 channel partners that work for us in this business. Moving on to slide 16, a similar story to our NBFC. Again, here we've seen our cost of borrowing from Q2 FY18 to Q2 FY19 has gone up by about 30 basis points. And if you look at the bottom of the chart, you'll see our NIMs have remained at 3.3% between Q2 FY18 to Q2 FY19. So again, really a commentary on the fact that when we see increases in cost in our book, we have the ability to pass it on to our borrowers. Moving on to slide 17, which talks about the ALM for our housing finance business. Similar chart to what we've shown in the NBFC, and pretty much similar conclusion. We have surplus 0 to 3, surplus 3 to 6. We're matched on a 6 to 12 month basis, and then a marginal reduction matched by longer term flows in the over 5-year bucket. Again, here we have adequate long-term bank lines available to meet our growth requirements for this business. And similar to the NBFC, we have a diversified source of both borrowing and investor profile, though this is much more skewed towards banks. You'll see 85% of our borrowing here comes from banks, and 79% of our total borrowing is term loans, which is in keeping with the fact that the ALM that you see on the left-hand side really shows you that we have longer-term assets, therefore term loans is what allows us to balance the ALM. We continue to broad-base our investor profile. We've grown our investor base quite significantly. And again, here we have a very, very comfortable capital adequacy ratio like we have in the NBFC. Slide number 18 will give you the financials for our housing finance company. Our book has doubled between September of last year and September of this year. Our revenue has more or less doubled over the same period, keeping in line with the growth of the book. And our earnings before tax for the half year has grown 3 times. For the quarter has grown almost 7 times. So that's really the highlights of our housing finance business. I'll now move on to the third business that we want to cover today, which is our asset management business. Let me start with slide number 20. The story of our asset management business, as you know, this is a business that's been doing very well over the last many years, both growth in terms of top line as well as growth in terms of profitability. Domestic equity AUM in this business grew by 33% year on year. Overall equity AUM for us now is over 1 lakh crores. This is about, and our equity AUM is now about 36% of our domestic AUM. It's grown by about 5% year on year as a percentage of the total AUM. We've maintained our equity market share at about 9.04% in what have been fairly challenging market conditions over the last year. Our operating EBT has increased by 32%, and our reported PBT is 23 basis points of AUM compared to 21 basis points of AUM, which is where it was last year. There's lots of discussion that's been happening around the recent SEBI circular on capping and reduction of TERs. We think the impact of this circular is really going to depend on how industry dynamics play out, and therefore it's a little early to call out what the impact on this might be. We think this is going to take some time for the industry to figure out, and therefore a whole host of things will have to happen before we can kind of quantify what the impact is likely to be on any asset management company. Slide number 21 talks about our continued focus on retail expansion. Our retail to HNI AUM is at 1,25,000 crores. It's grown by 22%, which as you can make out is greater than the growth in our total AUM. So it's growing much faster than our aggregate AUM. Our investor folios have doubled in the last 2 years. We've in fact added about 1 million folios in the first half of FY19, and we've added almost 3 million folios in the 2 years, September 16 to September 18. Our monthly SIP book, which has been a strong feature of our growth, is now over 1,000 crores on September 18. It's grown 3 times over the last 2 years, and our SIP market share is about 11.7%. So again, a very strong performance on the SIP side. Our SIP book contributes about 29% of our total domestic equity AUM. So you can see that this is what we think is a much more stable source of AUM within the overall equity AUM. And our SIP tenor, where we have SIPs more than 10 years, is about 68% of our total SIPs. So again, we have some pretty long-term SIPs within the overall number that I just discussed above. Along with all of the other things, what we're doing is also broadening our penetration in the B30 cities. B30, as you know, is growing faster as a segment compared to any other segment. Our AUM there is 31,200 crores, and B30 contributes about 33% of our retail AUM. Slide number 22, we'll talk about our distribution network, and really nothing much to call out here other than two or three main points, which is we have a very balanced sourcing mix across different channels. The IFA has a very large share in our equity sourcing. We work very well with IFAs, the IFAs work well with us, and therefore we have a large share of our equity AUM that comes from IFAs. And I think that's borne out by the fact that when you look at Wealth Forum, which is an independent body that ranks IFA's response to different fund houses, we've been ranked as the number one fund house in terms of both investor education as well as distributor training. And I guess that matters to a lot of the IFAs we deal with, which is why we have such a large component of our equity coming from IFAs. Slide number 23 just talks about the building blocks we're building for retail expansion. On the left-hand side is physical brick-and-mortar distribution that we're building. So we have 249 locations at the moment. We're looking to expand that presence to 275 locations by the end of this fiscal year. We already empaneled with 88 banks, but there's an increased focus on building presence with both PSU banks as well as cooperative banks. We have already 73,000 IFAs that we work with, and obviously we will look to expand this base as we can. And along with the national distributors, there's a newer breed of online platforms that are coming up, and clearly our aim is to find ways in terms of growing both national distributors per se, as well as some of the new online platforms that come up. On the right-hand side of this chart is our digital assets. As you see, we have several digital assets that are listed on the right-hand side of the slide, including robo-advisory for our SIPs, including access to a host of transaction and services for our customers, for our distributors, and then a mobile app that allows easy access to our liquid funds for anybody who has a bank account to move money from a bank account to a liquid fund and vice versa. And I think the benefit of this you're seeing in the number of transactions we're doing digitally. So if you look year on year, our digital transactions as a percentage of our total has moved from 55% to 63%. So a significant amount of our total transactions, these are both our own digital as well as third-party digital platforms, but digital transactions are really becoming a significant part of the business that we see. Slide number 24, we'll talk about the financials of our asset management business. Our domestic AUM has grown by 13% year on year. Domestic equity AUM has grown by 33% year on year. And if you look at our earnings before tax, excluding other income, so just the core earnings from business, is grown by 37% for the half year and 32% on quarter on quarter. Let me now move on to our life insurance business, Aditya Birla Sun Life Insurance. I'll talk about slide number 26 first. Aditya Birla Sun Life Insurance actually is a very fast-growing franchise and with significant value creation already, and I think significant value creation opportunity as we go forward. Our individual APE in this business grew by 60% year on year when we look at the half year. Earlier, remember, I talked about 70-odd% growth for the quarter. For the half year, the 60% growth is significantly ahead than both the private sector as well as the top four players, which obviously means we've added market share. Along with our individual business, our group business has also done very well. In fact, it's grown by 42% year on year. And our group business is value accretive. So this is a business that we are very selective about. We will only put on business if it makes sense to us from a value perspective. As a result of this growth, our rank has jumped two spots. So we've jumped from number 9, where we were half year of last year, to number 7 in the half year of this year. And our market share has grown by 113 basis points. Along with this growth in top line growth, because of the mix in, because of the change in product mix, our gross VNB is actually doubled year on year. So our VNB has grown by 60%, but our gross VNB has doubled year on year, with a gross VNB margin of 36.4% for the quarter. Our embedded value has grown by 10% year on year. So EV as of September 2018 was just under 4,400 crores, which is about 10% more than what it was in September 2017. So as I said, very strong growth, underpinning a really strong growth in terms of gross VNB margins on this slide. If I look at slide number 27, you will see some of the drivers of the value accretive business that we are building. On the left-hand side, the biggest driver has been the change in product mix. Protection has doubled year on year from just under 5% last year to about 8% in the half year of FY19. And that has been a big driver of both our gross margins as well as our net margins. On the right-hand side of this chart, we are showing you our margins, both gross and net. So if you look at the top of the chart, you'll see our gross margin, gross VNB margin, has moved from 28.2% in half year 18 to 36.4% in half year 19. The absolute amount has doubled from 105 crores in FY 18 to 218 crores in half year of 19. So very strong growth in gross VNB numbers. At the bottom of the chart, you'll see that's reflecting therefore, in significant reduction in our net VNB, improvement in our net VNB numbers. So net VNB, which was minus 22% for the half year of last year at minus 82 crores, has moved to minus 14 crores for the half year of FY19, which is minus 2.3 crores. If I give you the reasons for this movement of net VNB, there are really three broad reasons. There's been a very strong positive impact due to the higher protection mix as well as the productivity growth in our proprietary channels. That's added a large amount of this delta. We've also seen a positive impact from the volume growth and the controlled expenses in our partnership channel. Again, that has contributed positively to the net VNB reduction. And we've seen some negative impact from the new business strain as a result of scaling up the HDFC Bank partnership, which in a sense has been one of the reasons for the strong growth in the top line that I've just discussed with you before. But if you look at our net VNB margin for Q2 of this year, it's at 2.5%. The same period last year, so Q2 of FY18, that net VNB margin was minus 16.7%. So as we had guided earlier, we're very much on track for a double-digit net VNB margin for the full year. And I think as you can see from this, we're well and truly on track for that guidance we'd given earlier. Moving on to slide number 28, I think this slide will show you both the drivers in terms of channel and product. We've seen a consistent increase in the contribution of our partnership channel, which has grown almost 3.7 times over half year 18, over half year 19. Our proprietary channel has grown by about 8%. HDFC Bank has really been a big driver of the growth in the partnership channel. But even today, our average branch activization at HDFC is at 30%. So we see some upside going forward from this as we increase our activization in the HDFC Bank ecosystem. Our proprietary channel actually is also contributing significantly to our margin improvement, both as a result of productivity, as well as you can see on the bottom right-hand chart, with protection mix growing to 13%, our proprietary channel now is adding significant positive value, to the overall franchise. Moving on to slide number 29, I want to talk about the quality of the business in our life insurance business, several things that we've done to drive and improve the quality of this business. On the left-hand side, you'll see our fund performance versus internal benchmarks. Again, very strong fund performance over 1 year and 5 year in what have been fairly volatile market conditions. So, really strong numbers there. And on the right-hand side, you'll see our persistency ratio for 13-month, 25th-month, and 37th-month. And you'll see in all of these three buckets over the last 3.5 years, a significant improvement in persistency. And I think this improvement in persistency obviously adds significant value in a life insurance business and will continue to add value to us going forward. So if you look at slide number 30, which is the financials of Aditya Birla Sun Life Insurance, you'll notice that individual first year premium has grown 78% Q on Q, 61% H1 over H1. Group first year premium has grown 71% Q on Q, 2x year on year on a half year basis. Renewal premium again has been very strong. On a Q on Q basis, it's grown by 8%. On a half year basis, it's up by 6%. Earnings before tax in this business has been impacted largely by two things, partly by the expense strain from HDFC and partly as a result of the move to Ind AS and the accounting for fair value changes, which in fact has had an adverse impact on us in this quarter and in this half year, and that in fact has flowed through overall to Aditya Birla Capital as well, as I will cover subsequently. Let me now move on to the last business I want to talk to you about today, which is our health insurance business, the newest business on the block for Aditya Birla Capital. There's been a very strong growth in this business led by retail. GWP here grew 2x with, we now cover about 1.2 million lives. Retail is about 61% of our mix at the half year. You know, we think this number will probably increase from here as we go through into the second half of the year, and retail should end up between 65 and 70% of our total mix by the end of this year. One of the things we've done in this business is really build distribution capacity ahead of anybody else who is at the same stage of development in this industry. So we have a multi-channel mix with banker at about 54%, but we believe that our capacity today, you know, 2 years into our journey, is probably higher than any peer at the same time of their development in the health insurance industry. And therefore, that gives us a platform to be able to get significantly higher growth as we go forward. There's been a big focus on improving our claims experience. As you can see on the right-hand side, you see our group loss ratio has come down significantly from 106% to 96%, half year 18 over half year 19. You can see from a retail combined ratio perspective, a significant drop from 285% to 186%. So clearly making sure that our model works and our model delivers what it has to will result in a reduction in the claims experience that you're seeing over here. We're looking to build profitable growth in this business. We declared a quarterly loss in this business for Q2 at 73 crores. We believe this is a peak quarterly loss in this business, and henceforth, all quarterly losses will be lower than the 73 crore numbers that we've seen in this quarter. This business is on track to break even in about 3 years' time, when we think we will hit GWP levels of about 1,700 to 2,000 crores. In that range of GWP, this business should break even, and we think that journey is about 3 years from where we stand today. Moving on to slide 33, which talks about the distribution and provider network, something I referred to earlier, saying we've really built a significant platform, both in terms of distribution capacity as well as in terms of our provider network. We have 8 banker tie-ups within 18 months of operation, including HDFC Bank, DCB, Ratnakar Bank, Deutsche Bank, AU Bank, KB Bank, our payment bank. We recently signed up with Shamrao Vittal Cooperative Bank. We think from our own estimates, this is our own estimate, that we think monthly utilization of the available capacity is about 25% of the capacity that we have today. And therefore, that gives us a sense that there's significant upside potential, and therefore, the journey really from here on is really on capitalizing and increasing capacity utilization rather than adding new capacity. Equally, we think that there are more verticals that will get added by the partner banks, and this will also add further to the capacity that we have laid out on this slide. We also today have one of the largest provider networks in the business with a tie-up with over 5,000 hospitals across 650 cities that we're present in, thanks to the presence that we have with banks like HDFC Bank. So really, this slide gives you a sense of the phenomenal platform that's been built in the health insurance business, both from a distribution as well as from a provider network perspective. The last slide on the health insurance business, slide number 34, the four drivers of value for us in this business are set out on this page. Retail is more profitable than group. Retail is now 61% of our total GWP compared to 34% last year. Non-metros tend to be more profitable than metros. Non-metros in half year 19 are 34% of our book compared to of our sales compared to 27% of our sales in FY18. Fixed benefit products tend to be more profitable than indemnity products. That's 21% of our book compared to 8% last year. And the balanced channel mix really gives us the ability to drive scale and therefore derive economies of scale as a result of having multiple channels, including large channels like banker. So each of these initiatives allow us to create value and unlock value in the business that we're in. And we think that this will create value for us in the health insurance business as we go forward. Slide number 35 has the highlights of two of our smaller businesses. Slide number 36, general insurance broking business, which has had some impact as a result of regulatory changes, especially in the NISP guidelines on the motor insurance side. So EBT is about 8 crores compared to 11 crores last year. And our securities broking business, which has actually grown compared to last year, increasingly focusing on the digital channel here compared to the physical channel. So let me now move on finally to the aggregate financials of Aditya Birla Capital. I'm talking about slide number 38. On the left-hand side of the chart, you will see our consolidated revenue. Our consolidated revenues are up 32% year-on-year, quarter-on-quarter, 3,008 crores Q2 of FY18, to just under 4,000 crores in Q2 of FY19. Our established businesses, when I exclude fair value changes, have grown by 23% Q2 18 to Q2 19. So this is a significantly strong growth by our established businesses. And on a consolidated basis, our PAT after minority interest in the half year has grown from 397 crores in half year 18 to 411 crores half year 19. So about a 4% growth in our half year profitability half year to half year. I'm not going to walk through the slide on the right hand side, which is the reconciliation of IGAAP to Ind AS. But if you have any questions on that, we'll be happy to take. But this basically reconciles Q2 FY19 GAAP versus Ind AS. Our Ind AS number is 195. Our GAAP number would have been 227. A large bit of that difference, as you can see, is really mark-to-market and fair valuation changes that come through in the Ind AS mechanism. So let me finally just refer to slide number 39, which is a walkthrough of our profitability and changes from Q2 of FY18 to Q2 of FY19. Because we have so many moving parts and Ind AS adds a new level of complexity, we just thought it would be useful to explain to you what the various drivers of the move are from FY18 to FY19. So last year, Q2 FY18, we had a 225 crore PAT on an Ind AS basis. In addition to that, our three established businesses, our lending business, our asset management business, and our insurance business added value, as you can see. NBFC added about 48 crores. Our AMC, this is our share of the AMC profitability delta, it was 11 crores. BSLI has had an 11 crore negative over here, largely, as I said, because of the HDFC Bank card scale-up that we've done during the course of this year. Housing Finance has delivered a positive 10 crore profit compared to last quarter same time. Health insurance business had a bigger loss, so that's the minus 12 you see under health insurance. And then we have two other items that are peculiar to us, and some of it peculiar to Ind AS. So we have about 34 crores of expense, which is partly brand and partly interest expense at the holding company level, because we have some borrowing there to be able to fund the growth of our businesses. And then you have a big delta on the fair value changes, which is the 42 crore negative that you see on the slide here, which is really the fair value changes that we've seen under Ind AS that various businesses of us face, largely in our life insurance business. But as you can see here, the core businesses continue to perform very strongly. And as markets rebound, we think some of these numbers, again, will look very different. But on a reported basis, our Q2 FY19 number will be 195 crores versus 225 crores in Q2 of FY18. That brings me to the end of my presentation. I'm happy to stop here and take any questions that you may have from me.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star one now. We have a first question from the line of Amit Rane from Quantum Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my question is on the NBFC cost of fund. So basically, our cost of fund in Q2 was around 8.04%. I want to know what is the incremental cost of funds during Q3?
Be about 20-25 basis points increase in Q3.
Okay. And sir, in terms of passing on this cost of funds to our borrowers, so how much increase we have taken in the yield?
When you say increase in yield, as I've shown you before, I think whenever we see an increased cost coming to us, we're passing it on to our customers so that our margins remain more or less constant. So I'm not sure what your question is.
It's in line with your
So, in,
so it's in line with the increase of cost of funds, which has got transferred to the customer.
Sir, in Q1, our NIM was 4.9%, and in Q2, it is at 4.6%. So we have seen a 30 basis point decline in our NIM in Q2. And
so, there's a timing difference between when we face an increase ourselves and when we can pass it on to our customers.
Right.
So this is really that time lag. That's why I showed you the longer term chart.
Right.
Which is you need to take a more normalized view of margins, because over a period of time, you're demonstrating that the margins remain more or less at the same level.
Right. So you mean to say with a lag of say one or two quarters, we can see that margins will stabilize, right?
Yes, I mean, it might be slightly less than that.
Yeah, so what we showed here is that in the last 8 quarters or so, if you look at our margins is in the range of 4.7-4.6. It will continue to be in that range. Quarter one, our margin was slightly higher. We will be closer to that, but I think it will be just there around 4.7 or so.
Okay. And can you share your outlook on margins in HFC as well in the second half of the year?
So again, there the margins right now is 3.3. I think we will be able to maintain these margins in quarter three. If there is an increase in cost of funds, we will be able to pass it on to the customer. So we should be able to manage in this range around 3.2 to 3.3.
Okay. And sir, what's our exposure to Ireland FSA at group level? So in terms of investment exposure as well?
At group level, meaning at ILFS group?
No, at Aditya Birla group level, Aditya Birla Capital.
So we have our NBFC, our mutual fund has some exposure, but that's all in the various disclosures you'll find in the mutual fund fact sheets.
Okay.
We don't have exposure anywhere else.
Okay. And sir, one last question on this 388 crore of exposure that we have in the NBFC. Do we plan to have some provisions upfront just to be on the conservative side in the near
term? Yes, I think we've discussed this both with our audit committee as well with our auditors, and we've made provisions as we think necessary.
So as of now, do we have any provisions on this?
Yes, of course. We do have provisions.
So how much is the provision on Ireland FS?
So we don't discuss individual provisions or individual accounts, but all I can tell you is that the provision is in line with what we think we need to provide based on the quality of the assets that we have.
Okay. And sir, on the NBFC, in construction finance, we have 12% exposure.
Can I request you to let somebody else ask a question? I think you can come back later if you want and we can take any more questions.
Sure, sir. I'll come back. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone phone. We have a next question from the line of Abhishek Saraf from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, on the NBFC book, so I just wanted to understand, like, our growth, we have been guiding for around 25 to 30% growth, but in the first quarter we grew at 24, now for the first half we are at 23%. And given that currently for the overall NBFC sector also some kind of, because of liquidity squeeze, so means how do you see growth outlook from here, and would you maintain it at around 25-30%, or would it be now at the current level of 23-24%?
Yeah, last 2-3 quarters our growth has been, as you rightly mentioned, around 23-25%, and we believe that we should be able to continue with that kind of growth.
Okay. And it would be largely driven by our focus, again, on the retail, HNI, and the SME segment, right?
Yeah. Though it will be across, but yes, primarily driven by these segments which we have been focusing on.
I mean, if you look at our story, we've always said that we see opportunity across the spectrum. The fact that we are present across different segments allows us to choose the segments that look more attractive compared to others. SME retail has been a more attractive segment for us, and if that continues to be the case, then we will continue to grow in that segment faster than otherwise.
Okay, Okay, and on sir, this asset quality, so GNPA ratio has been maintained at 0.93%, but I think around 20 basis point is on account of our the Feb 12 circular of RBI.
Yes.
And, so those assets were largely standard for us, but we had to reclassify it as GNPA because I think that it was classified as NPA in other lenders. So are these assets standard to us now as well?
It's still under NCLT, so resolution is still underway.
Okay. And so on the just a few questions on the insurance part. So in HDFC Bank, when do we expect this NBS strain, the new business strain that we are seeing witnessing right now? So you, what are we building in terms of when does this NBS kind of taper out, within what period?
See, there are two strains, right? One is the stat profit strain, which is a result of hiring of people on the ground, which is pretty much done. We may have a little bit more hiring to do as we increase activization, but a bulk of that strain has already been taken. As far as the expense gap strain is concerned, I think just given the rapidity of growth, you will see some expense gap strain for a while, but it will still be net VNB positive for us. So I think that's the, you know, that's the way we're looking at this channel.
Right.
Some amount of strain for a while, but it'll be net VNB accretive to us as we grow.
Okay. As on VNB margin, so are we expecting this? You said that we expect around double-digit VNB margin by the year end. So right now we are clocking at 2.3%. So is it means like exit rate will be like 10%, or for the full year we should be able to see 10%?
For the full year. So last year for the full year we were 4.3% positive.
Right.
So we are, that's the number I'm saying will be double digit this year. That was for the full year.
Okay. And one last bit on insurance, so if you allow me. So on the protection side, so is it largely individual term, or we are also doing group term on that? Or and on the group side, the growth has been high, so is it largely on credit protect, or is it means other savings business that we are writing there?
So the protection that we are showing is only individual term. I'll request Pankaj to answer the question on the group side.
So groups are our biggest growth has come both in the creditor business and term business. You're absolutely right on that. Our focus remains both on the creditor and term, and creditor has grown about close to 82% over last year, and we have seen a term business growth of almost 13%. And this will continue to remain our focus for the forthcoming quarters.
But that is not included in the protection number we're showing. That is only individual.
So protection number, as Ajay said, which has been shown the numbers, is purely individual business.
Okay. Yeah, that will be it from my side. Thanks a lot, and happy Diwali to the team.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have a next question from the line of Piran Engineer from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on the quarter and happy Diwali firstly. I'd like to discuss a bit of your loan against shares book. So what is the average ticket size in that book, and do we also have a ticket size cap? Like for banks, I believe it's 15 lakhs or 20 lakhs. So do NBFCs also have such a cap?
No, regulatorily there's no cap for an NBFC in loan against shares. Obviously, when we do our appraisal, we look at the value of the underlying share in terms of what the quality of the share is, its liquidity, the ability for us to dispose the share if required. All of those determine how much exposure we take to any individual exposure. I don't have the average ticket size available offhand, so I'm sorry, I can't give that to you. Right?
Okay, that's fine. And in the large corporate book, in the structured finance part of it, how much is promoter funding against shares?
Nothing. The structured book would have, we may have a pledge of shares, but it will always have an underlying business to back it. So the promoter funding is captured on the loan against shares, is not captured in the structured finance.
Okay, but loan against shares is largely retail and HNI only. It wouldn't come under the corporate part then.
No, there'll be some promoter there as well.
Okay, understood. And secondly, on the construction finance bit, and this is both for the NBFC and the HFC thing, because it's kind of, do you all have any exposure to Supertech or any of the other names that are out there? And if not, who are our largest clients also? If you could just give us some more details.
We can't disclose names of clients, but we don't have any exposure to Supertech.
Okay. But like, what is the average?
As I said, we've largely got Category A developers as our clients. And I think we've given the average ticket size in both in the presentation.
Yeah.
you see it's about 49 crores in our NBFC, about 16 crores in our HFC.
And also if you see, it's only 6% of our overall lending book in the NBFC and 8% in our well-contained real estate exposure which we have on developers.
Okay. But how? What is the largest ticket size, if you could say? Like, how big can y'all go in this segment, or do y'all go rather?
We don't go very big.
Okay. And just one last thing, and probably a suggestion. You know, your PPT is very good, very detailed, but you know, we analysts don't get much time to read it before the con call. So if you know, you could give a gap of a few hours between the results and the con call, or maybe keep the con call the next day. That would be really helpful. Because there's a lot of data to digest in half an hour before the call.
You guys are very smart, yeah. You guys can figure this out in half an hour.
Okay. Anyway, that was just a suggestion. Yeah. Anyway, all the best. Yeah, happy Diwali.
Thank you, sir. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. We have a next question from the line of Vaibhav Kacholia from VK Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. We mentioned that we have these early warning systems for the loan book thing. So anything which is showing up in October, November on the construction finance side?
Yeah, I think we see that movement in high, you know, high ticket residential is obviously moving much slower than anything else. And we look at individual cities, and there are obviously some cities where we see movement of inventories much slower than others. That is something that, you know, we take into account when we look at funding, you know, the construction finance or anything else related to real estate. So this is something that that we do on a regular basis.
And we look at the micro markets, how the supply and how the inventory is moving, and accordingly we take our calls in terms of underwriting those projects or approving those projects.
Okay, so this is for new loans which we are giving out. What about the existing loan book? Are we seeing any sales slowdown of those builders to whom we have already given loans, or is it business as usual?
As Ajay mentioned, ours is a very, I think our exposure to real estate developers is a very small exposure, and we have, you know, we have chosen the best category developers in this segment. So far, yes, there is a slowdown in terms of, but we haven't gone to the high premium residential segment where we have funded the inventories or something like that. So at this point in time, the smaller ticket size inventory that's selling, wherever we are seeing some slowdown, we get back to the developer and we sit with them and all. Nothing unusual at this point in time. As you see, what we have mentioned in the last 7 years, we don't have any delinquencies in this segment at all.
Okay, great. Very helpful. Thank you so much. And I had one question on the life insurance tie-up with HDFC. So are we paying any upfront fee for this?
No.
Zero? Like what Max pays to Axis Bank and all that?
Yeah, no, we don't have an upfront payment.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. We have a next question from anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone for now. We have a next question from the line of Abhishek Saraf from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question again. So on the AMC side, so just my question is the SIP book. So our market share has kind of come down slightly over the last two quarters from 13% to now around 11.7%. So just wanted to know your thoughts on how you are seeing in the SIP book, given the market has gone through a bit of turmoil in last 3 months. So what has been, means how are you seeing it? Has they, means the older SIPs have continued, but the pace of newer SIP signups have slowed down, or means overall, how do you see the outlook on that portion of your AMC book?
Yeah, I mean FAP was the number what you used to give without the STP number. That number continues to remain close to 13%. If you add up STP, that market share comes to about 1.5%. So the combined number that you are given, which is the incremental AUM that comes to us every month on a month-on-month basis. As far as the SIP registration, that's what we normally look at, SIP registration, which is reflects the gross volume. Yes, we have seen a marginal slowdown in terms of SIB registration compared to the last year. But however, one has to look at these numbers as how much is the incremental assets getting added. That is, any new SIB that gets registered, the incremental assets coming in terms of AUM as well as in terms of customer base. That continues to be in the range of roughly about 1 lakh to 1,000 number that comes every month in the form of registration. As against 2 lakh which used to be in the peak, the number now has dropped about 1 lakh 40 to 45,000 kind of number. That remains good. But as we move forward as an industry as well as for us, SAP has been the big focus of focus area. As you have seen in the slide, 29% of our assets under management on equity is coming from SAP. There has been a high focus area for us in terms of building our retail through SAP and SAP route and building our equity area.
Okay. And sir, in the back book, so are we seeing any kind of, means they are persisting with us or we are witnessing some kind of cancellations there in the existing SIP book?
No, we generally look at the registration versus the cancellation ratio. The cancellation ratio used to be normally about 20 to 25%. That ratio more or less remains the same actually. We don't see too much of cancellation. We probably see some expiries and they get re-registered once again for SAP.
Okay. That's very reassuring to hear that, sir. And one last thing on our AUM growth guidance. So AUM overall has actually come down a bit, AUM growth to 11%. So where do you think we'll clock in? I mean, say, what are you budgeting in for the year? Because equity has definitely grown well, but seems like fixed income has seen some kind of slowdown.
I think broadly, if you see this quarter, the AUM has remained more or less muted growth. And second is equity AUM has come down because of the market action. Third, with respect to the fixed income, we have seen marginal reduction in the Defqins portfolios. As a fund house, we used to be the number one. We are the number one fund house in the case of fixed income. And we enjoy high market share. We have seen a marginal reduction as far as the debt info concerns, which is again function of market sentiment on interest rate as well as on credit. But the way we see is SAP is one focus area that we have that will continue to grow. And as the market sentiment improves, we will probably see more inflows coming in as we move forward. Even the month of September, the industry did not see much reduction in the flows because of volatility, which essentially makes us believe that I think growth should come back.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Thanks a lot for your answers.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Nischint Chawathe from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Three questions from my side. One is on the asset management side, what proportion of your business is currently on a full trail model?
Roughly about 50% is the full trail model.
Sorry, 15 as in 1-5?
Oh, 5-0.
This is on a full trail model.
Yeah, that's right. See, I think the way our business got evolved in the last 2-3 years, since the time the upfront commission got banned, some of the people anyway moved to the trial model. That number is somewhere close to about 50-58%. And the people who are running on upfront model now, of course, has to move to the trial model.
Sure. Just on the ILNFS exposure in the mutual fund, is there any hit that the shareholders or the asset management company is envisaging for its shareholders, or will it fully be at the fund level?
Yeah, there is no impact for the shareholders. It's all at the fund level, scheme level. And we apply, of course, the valuation metrics that are given by the external rating agencies, which is what industry follows. We follow the same thing. And wherever we have to provide extra markdown in terms of valuation basis of the rating, we take it to the trustee board, and they make an S3 valuation impact on the portfolio. That reflects on our NAV.
Sure. But anyway, nothing comes to the fund.
No, but Nishchint, I should also say that the exposures in the mutual fund are current. In fact, we continue to receive money. Even in the last few weeks, we've been receiving money from, because these are operating projects with adequate cash flow, with enterprise value significantly more than debt. So from all of that perspective, we think these are actually in good shape.
Sure. And just finally on the housing finance side, is there any guidance that you could give on a steady state NPLs out here? you know, because obviously the, you know, the portfolio is gradually getting seasoned and the ratio is going up. But, you know, are we kind of up there at 0.7% or, you know, where does this really ratio head to?
I think it should be in the same range. We don't see it worsening from here on. We would see it stabilizing here.
Great. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you, Rishan. Happy Diwali.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Yeah, that's it. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone phone. To ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone now. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Sir, over to you.
So thank you very much for joining us on this Diwali evening for our Q2 results. If you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Sorry again that you didn't have enough time to read the deck, but if you have any further questions after reading the deck, please do get back in touch with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, for any further queries, you may contact Mr. Pramod Bora, Investor Relations team. On behalf of Aditya Birla Capital, we conclude today's conference call. Thank you for joining with us. You may now disconnect your lines.